for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Monday up noon 1:15 Ladies Delivered Service, July the 5th, 2010. Carla Batard is the speaker of this service, teaching on freedom from sexual torments. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
When someone is raped or molested, it can also cause arrested development. Now, the Lord revealed this arrested development thing to me. I was here about 5 years ago, and Mike called me, and he said, I hate to put a damper on your trip, but Kyle got arrested last night. And I was like, what for? Marijuana. And I said, Lord, when I got off the phone, I said, Lord, what is the deal? These are not 14 and 15 year old kids. These are grown adults. And the Lord said, not really. Their emotional and social development was arrested at the age they began to smoke marijuana. So see, your children may be being affected by this. If they're immature and they don't seem to, you know, get it. It could be a familiar spirit that came from either drugs or alcohol or molestation or rape, or it could be generationally inherited. So that's an interesting thing. So God showed me, I thought, well, man, what are we going to, you know, what do you do about that? And the Lord instructed me, when you pray for them, you put your hands on their head and you speak a supernatural maturity to their minds, starting at the age that they started the drugs, and call for a supernatural maturity of that age. Now, even before I knew anything about this, I prayed for a little boy who had autism. Was invited to teach at a seminar in Alabama, I think. Might have been Georgia. But anyway, in this deliverance conference was a woman who had some foster children with her. One of them, a little girl, she was about this long, and she was as stiff as a board. They carried her like this, like a log. That was the strangest thing I had ever seen. And there was no, you know, there was no, she hadn't had surgery or, you know, nothing like that. She didn't have braces or anything. She just was stiff as a log. I still, to this day, am asking God what that was. But this little boy that was with her, a beautiful little boy, and, you know, I love children, and I went over to talk to them, and the little boy, the mother had her back to the children. She was talking to a lady. The children were sitting over here, and I went over and squatted down, and I said, hi, I'm so glad you're here. And she turned around, and she said, he can't understand you. He's got autism. He's autistic. He doesn't understand anything you're saying. And I said, and she turned right back around, and I said, I really am happy that you came. And she turned around, and she said, I told you he can't understand what you're saying. And I said, well, do you mind if I talk to him anyway? No, if you want to. It'll be a one-way conversation, but... And I'm telling you, my heart just broke for that, those children. So the next morning when I was getting ready, the Lord started talking to me about these kids. These kids were prisoners of war. I was like, prisoners of war. He said, yes, their parents were in a war, and they lost. And the children had been taken prisoner by these afflictions. And I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. Well, you know, they're foster children, so the parents don't even have the children. They lost the war. Okay, so I went to the, it was, this seminar was at a hotel, and we stayed over to have church Sunday morning with the pastor and his church. And I walked in there, and I was going to tell the pastor that I had traveled there with, and he was busy with somebody, so I was just kind of standing around waiting. I wasn't going to interrupt him, but I was just kind of waiting. And so the pastor of the church came over and said, "Is there something that I can do for you?" And I said, "Well, I was waiting for the other pastor. I wanted to tell him something that the Lord showed me this morning when I was getting ready to come to church." And he said, "Well, why don't you just share it with me, and I'll tell him, and you can go on in, service is fixing to start." And I said, "Okay." So I told him, and then I went in and was ready for the service to start. And he came up and greeted the people and everything, and then he said, "The Lord gave Miss Butod a, or Sister Carla, I think he called me, a word of knowledge about the children." And I thought, "What?" I didn't know that was a word of knowledge. You know, it's funny, I prayed for all those things, and they started happening, and I didn't even know what they were. It took me a while, but I'm catching on. So anyway, he wanted me to come up and share what the Lord had told me about the children. So I did. And then he said, "We would like to give you liberty to do whatever you think needs to be done." And I thought, I was terrified. I was horrified. But I thought, okay, here we go. So I said, "Well, why don't you bring the children up, and why don't we gather around them, and let's anoint our hands with oil and pray for them." Okay, so everybody came up, and we anointed our hands, and we started praying. Well, I prayed for the little boy. This is what I was getting to about the arrested development. I just put my hands on his head, and I spoke to his brain. I didn't know much about autism. I knew he couldn't talk. I knew he looked like he was in somewhere else besides where he was. So I addressed those things, and I spoke to that little brain, and I commanded the left side to cooperate with the right side, and for everything that was supposed to connect, and I called forth his communicative skills, and I called forth his understanding, and I called forth mighty little man of God, and you know, I just prayed whatever the Lord gave me. Well, 3 months after that, now did I see a difference? Nope. Didn't matter to me. This is me. I'm going after it, and I've done my part, and the rest is up to God. I'm going home. 3 months later, she called, and she said, "I want you to know that the little boy, his name was Christopher, is now learning his ABCs. He's talking. He's singing. He knows all of us by name." And that was just awesome. So I know, it's like I've seen several little children here that I want to get my hands on. Because I want those things to be dealt with. I don't want them to have to grow up their whole life long being singled out and pointed at and ridiculed. And, you know, those are things that are being visited on them from who knows where, the third or the fourth generation. Or it could just be something that happened. Like the blind man in the Bible, when the disciples passed by, "Hey, who sinned, him or his parents?" And Jesus said, "Neither, but that the glory of God might be made manifest." And we're going to be seeing more and more of these kind of things that just are. I think he's waiting on us to do what he's told us to do in order for his glory to come into the church where it belongs. My goodness. I always wondered. I mean, I've been looking. When I got saved, I started reading my Bible, and I knew what it was supposed to look like and what it was supposed to sound like and everything, and I was hunting and hunting and hunting for the place where it was, and I never found one. And really and truly, when the corporate body of Christ comes together, there is so much power in this room right this second that we should see miracles. We should see miracles. But it's going to take that boldness to begin to step out and release the glory of God that is in us and begin to perform miracles. That's what they did. He gave them authority. He said, "Hey, whatever city you go into, heal the sick." It wasn't a selective thing. And I'm ready to see that in the body of Christ. I'm believing for it. I'm going to see it. It's in little bits and pieces right now, but it's going to be more and more as we understand who we are, who is in us, who is in us to do the works that He gave us to do. So my question today is, okay, another thing that I want to mention before we start praying is that when this kind of thing has happened to you, when you have molestation in your life, there will be other manifestations, not only masturbation, but you may be being visited by sexual demons. To my knowledge, that's never happened to me, although there have been times that I've had dreams, or maybe I thought they were dreams, because you know how men have wet dreams. Well, there have been times in my sleep that I would experience an orgasm. That's why I thought it was a dream. I must have been dreaming something sexual, because I wouldn't remember the dream, but I would remember that. So perhaps it was a sexual spirit. Perhaps it was an incubus, or it could have been a succubus. They're not selective in this department. An incubus is a spirit who will come as a woman. No, a man. Incubus. And I remember, I have to remember that because I never could keep them apart. But the man goes in. Incubus. I-N. C-U-B-U-S. So the incubus is a spirit that will come and have sexual intercourse with a woman. Or, you know, could be a man too. Could be anal with a man. Or could be anal with a woman. And then there's the succubus. And I believe that's what causes men to have wet dreams. The succubus, I remember that one because it's sexually explicit, but that's what men like. So that spirit comes and performs that, and it brings him to an orgasm and causes him to have a wet dream. I believe that's what that's all about. Never thought about it until I, you know, learned about this. But I thought, oh, well, now that makes sense. Because we hear about wet dreams, but we don't hear about women having orgasms in their sleep. Because, like I said, we don't talk about stuff like that. Dr. Null talked about stuff like that with the men, and they got the nitty-gritty. They got down to the nitty-gritty, and men got great deliverances. And we sit and talk about other stuff until the Lord said, I want you to talk about that. And I was like, Lord, that's going to be kind of hard. But, you know, it's really not. Once you do, that's why when people come and I know that they are bothered by something, they're being tormented. What is it? And I mean, I can see it all over them. They can't even bring themselves to say it. They're ashamed. They're embarrassed. Or the devil's telling them, you better not tell her, because it's going to change the way she thinks about you. You better not tell anybody. So I usually just say it. I know what Satan's telling you right now. That's where his power is, too. He wants you to keep it a secret. Bust him. Bust his power. And just say it. Because once you do, he has no more power over you in that area. So you can get freedom just by saying it. And let me tell you that there is nothing that anybody could tell me that would make me not love them. Because I've been there. I've not been molested. I've not been raped. Although I told my mother one time, I said, you better be glad that my brother, I won't say his name, but you better be glad he never wanted me sexually, because I guarantee you he would have. He was 5 years older than me, and when he got old enough to watch over me while my parents were at work, there was some stuff went on. I mean, he was emotionally abusive to me. He would lock me out of the house, and I would be knocking on the door, and he would play like he didn't hear me, and there was a window in the door, and I would be looking at him and banging on the door, and he wouldn't even look at me, you know, just agitate. And so those were emotional torments. And I mean, I thought that the anger and the rage that I had, he developed. I thought when I got married, it wouldn't come anymore. No, I thought anger wouldn't come anymore when I got away from my brother until I had my first baby. He was so much like my brother. And then I went to the psychiatrist. I didn't know about deliverance. I wanted to hurt that kid. I'm telling you, I couldn't catch my brother, but that's what I told the. He said, "Why are you here?" I said, "I have a 3-year-old who brings the same rage out in me that my brother did when I lived at home. And I couldn't catch my brother, but I can catch this little one. And I am afraid I'm going to hurt him." That's why I was at the psychiatrist. Did he have a cure? Nope. But I did have an encounter with Jesus. Even though I was saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, I had a demon. And the church would tell you, not possible. You just need to grow up. You just need to control yourself. You just need to do this and you just need to do that. Well, guess what? I tried all that. It didn't work. Because when that demon raises its head, you're gone. I've watched it happen in people. I've seen the eyes switch. And that's what would happen to me. I could feel it coming and I'm screaming, "No, no, 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 no." And then you come back to yourself after it's done. Because see, the demon rises up. It demands to be satisfied. And then it subsides and leaves you with all the guilt. Just like you said about Satan. Come on. Come on, just do it. Come on. Just eat that third Hershey bar. Nobody will know. Hide the wrapper under something else in the garbage. Just eat it. I'm telling you, the torment is ridiculous. And then you eat it and it goes, "Oh, look what you did. I don't even own a scale." But anyway, that's how it works. And it's the same way with murder. I know that's how serial killers, they have no memory. And I used to think, "You lying dog, you know you." No, I don't think that. They're gone. Gone. Yes. That demon rises up and demands to be satisfied, and he's got your body. And he's going to use it like a puppet. And that's why I love deliverance. Because I hate the puppet master. Okay. The other thing. Now, all of these things can also come in through satanic activity. We don't know the culture, our cultures that are in our background and the... They make dedications. They will dedicate future generations on the altar. Or some fraternity or some sorority or any, all of those things are occultic. All of it is occultic. And what happens when that happens, especially like through molestation, rape, any kind of sexual sins, prostitution, whoredom, all those things. When that begins to happen, Satan claims you for his bride. Now, I never had a real understanding of that, but I do now. And it came through praying for a girl right here that I had seen come camp after camp after camp after camp, tormented, crying. And I just couldn't, you know, I always say, "Lord, what is it? What is it? There's got to be help for this person. Don't let them go home like this again," you know. So Dr. Null had prayed for her, and he was moving on, and he called me over to pray with her. And I didn't know what to pray for her. My goodness, if Dr. Null couldn't get it, what was I going to do? You know. But I was standing there and just loving on her, really. I was holding her and loving on her. And all of a sudden, something drops into my head, and it was a booklet. It's back there. It's called The Spirit of the Bride of Satan. And I had, when I first met Frank Marzullo, actually I met his brother Ernie first, because Ernie was my uncle, and I was praying for a girl at my house, and something happened to her. I mean, and I called him, and she scared me. I mean, I was raised in the Methodist church. We don't see stuff like that. I was just praying for her, and all of a sudden she's on the floor, rolling back and forth and laughing hysterically, and I was ready to get her out of my house. Come on, time to take you home. And I came home and I called my uncle and he said, well, baby, she got delivered. I said, of what? He said, well, I don't know, but I'm going to send you some information. Well, I was expecting a manila folder with, some papers in it. No, it was a box this big of every one of those little booklets back there by Frank Marzullo, and every video of every meeting he had ever done and every tape he had made. And I mean, I began to study. And it was just awesome. And so, why did I start telling you that? Frank Marzullo. Yes, yes. And that was one of the booklets. But, I was reading it, and it was like, what? So, it didn't go anywhere, but it was in my spirit, because I had read it. And the Holy Ghost brought it to me for that girl. And I heard the spirit of the bride of Satan, and I thought, okay. So I got right, I didn't want anybody to hear me. So I got right in her ear and I said, I am speaking to the spirit of the bride of Satan. And this is what she did. She was like this and she went, and she just fell flat on her face. I mean, I was shocked. She wasn't breathing. He was going to kill her. I was going to turn her over. I didn't know she wasn't breathing. I was trying to turn her over, and it was like she weighed a ton. I couldn't move her. It was like she was glued to the floor. Finally, somebody came over, and we turned her over, and she wasn't breathing. And I just bound death in the name of Jesus. I command you to breathe air, life, now. And she breathed, but she was like catatonic. And she stayed that way for a while. And several other people came over and were praying and everything. And then just all of us, I had to get really bold because God was telling me to stop that. I just held up my hands. I pulled up a chair and pulled her over on me and rocked her. She was like she started talking in the voice of like a 5-year-old. Well, now I know that's when it happened. And then she told me what happened. And so then I commanded that spirit of the bride of Satan to come out. And it did. And she called me about a month after that happened. She said, I didn't believe that anything had happened. But see, she never told me that she was being visited by an incubus or succubus, but I just imagine that's what was tormenting her so. So it's very real. But she called me and said, it's not happening anymore. So I just want you to know that if you came with a need of anything like that, today is your day. Today is your day for this to be broken off of you once and for all, and having the desolation broken off of your life. So I'm just going to, why don't we just do corporate? I'm going to do corporate deliverance. And if you need further prayer, come to the early morning prayer meeting. I'm going to tell you there's an anointing at that 6 o'clock prayer meeting that's not present when I'm walking through the cafeteria. There's a difference. The corporate anointing, all of the gifts are working there. And so if you need more prayer, come to the 6 o'clock prayer meeting. Okay, so Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I cover each woman here with the blood of Jesus right now. Lord, I ask you to send mighty angels to assist in deliverance right now. Mighty warring angels come and ministering angels come and fill this room. Be around each lady, Lord. Cover them with your protection. I bind any violent manifestations that would hurt the women of God in Jesus' name. I bind every hindering spirit, every blocking spirit that would try to block this deliverance in Jesus' name. I bind every antichrist spirit. I bind every spirit of the witch in Jesus' name. I command every spirit not of the Holy Spirit to leave this room while we do this deliverance so that it is complete, effective, in the name of Jesus. Right now, take authority over the spirit of desolation. I bind and break the curse of Tamar off of every woman here, even if it's generationally. We go backwards and we go forwards. Lord, there is no time in the spirit. I bind it now and break its power, and I command it to go. Leave now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of rape, I bind you. break your power and command you to go. Every spirit of rape, forced intercourse. Maybe you weren't raped. Maybe it was your husband. Maybe you just didn't want to and he did it anyway. I bind every act of forced intercourse right now in Jesus' name. I break your power and command you to go. I come against every spirit of molestation. I bind you and break your power now. Every spirit of molestation. Every unholy touch. Every place that you were touched in an unholy manner. I speak healing right now to that body part in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I come against incest. All spirits of incest. Incest by father. Incest by mother. Incest by brother or sister. Incest by uncles, grandparents. In Jesus' name. You go in the name of Jesus. All incest, I break your power and command you to go in Jesus' name. All fornication, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. And I speak to every familiar spirit that came with rape, every familiar spirit that came with molestation. I give you leave now. I command you to go. You leave the women of God right now in Jesus' name. All spirits of whoredom or prostitution and promiscuity that came in through rape, incest, molestation, or generationally inherited, I break your power now and command you to go. I remove the mark of the whore's forehead right now in Jesus' name. I remove that mark off of you that draws people to come and do it again to you in Jesus' name. I take the target off your back. And Lord, I ask you right now to come and restore the garment, the spiritual garment of the virgin over anyone who was raped or molested or violated in any way. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to cleanse their organs, their sexual organs. I command every unclean spirit to come out of the mouth. Come out of the mouth, come off the tongue, come out of the cheeks of your mouth. Come out of your saliva glands. Come out of your throat in the name of Jesus. I bind you and break your power and command you to go. I command every unclean spirit to come out of the womb, the vagina, off the labia in the name of Jesus. Come out of the thighs. Come out of the buttocks. Come out of the anus in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just ask you to heal right now every body part that's been hurt by force in Jesus' name. Heal. I just ask the resurrected blood of Jesus to flow through their body and cleanse them and heal them and restore them, Lord. Restore them. Restore their purity. Lord, I ask you to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise, not only the virgin's garment, but a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. In the name of Jesus Christ, all sexual abuse, any type of sexual abuse by anybody, in the name of Jesus, I bind it and break it off of your life in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of desolation, not being able to be married, not having friends. I come against the unloving spirit in Jesus' name. I command every spirit of shame and guilt and feeling dirty in the name of Jesus, false guilt that it was your fault, I bind you and command you to go. I break your power, all false guilt, making you feel like it was your fault that happened to you. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and break your power now. You go. Every familiar spirit of rape, every familiar spirit of incest, every familiar spirit of molestation, go in the name of Jesus. Lord, I break every soul tie with every person that touched them in an unholy manner. I break the soul ties with them in the spirit. I send their spirits back to them, and I call back their spirits to them, and I call for the scattered mind to be restored in Jesus' name. I speak healing and wholeness to every scattered and fragmented mind. Every fragmented soul be healed. I command every spirit of grief and sorrow and depression and oppression go in the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I speak healing right now to every broken place in their body, the broken hearts, the broken dreams, the disappointments, in the name of Jesus. I bind you. I command you to leave them in Jesus' name. You go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Betrayal. All spirits of betrayal, go. I remove every fiery dart of betrayal, the knife of betrayal from your back. I remove it now in the name of Jesus. All spirit of betrayal, you go. In Jesus' name, I speak to the spirit of the bride of Satan. I break your power. We give you a spiritual writ of divorcement now. They are not the bride of Satan, but they are the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. The blood of Jesus against you. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you and command you to go. In Jesus' name, and every familiar spirit, go. I call down fire from heaven and I destroy the altar that was erected with their name on it. In Jesus' name. I break the curse of the firstborn. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I replace it with the blessings of God. The blessings of God. Be blessed. Be blessed. Right now, Lord, I ask that they be... I just release a spirit of forgiveness right now to be able to forgive every person that has violated them. Forgive every person that has violated. Forgive the one who betrayed you. Forgive the one you thought was going to defend you but told you to be quiet about it. Forgive your fathers and your mothers, your brothers, your husbands, whoever it was who did not defend you and protect you. Forgive them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I come against anger, all anger, go. Wanting to kill them, wanting to get back at them. In the name of Jesus. I bind every spirit of anger, every spirit of murder, every spirit of revenge. In Jesus' name. I command you to go. I command every tormenting spirit, that satanic cycle of remembering it. I break that cycle right now in the name of Jesus. I command it to cease and desist. I crush that recorder and that playback. I come against being affected by certain smells that you smell that bring those memories back to you. Sounds, lights in the room, or signs, or anything that brings that memory back to you. I break it right now in Jesus' name. I bind and break barrenness, the spirit of barrenness, infertility. I bind you and break your power. I command your body to receive the seed of your husband in Jesus' name. If you want a baby, Lord, I just ask you to open their wombs, cleanse every part of the plumbing parts that need to work properly in order to conceive. And we break, I bind and break every one of these spirits off of their seed forever, the generations forward. In the name of Jesus, I speak to spirits of infirmity that came in from this, that declining in health, the loss of strength and vigor. In Jesus' name, I bind you and break you and command you to go. And now, Lord, did I leave anything out? Is there anything y'all can remember that I left out? Oh, mental problems. All mental torment. I bind you and break your power. I bind the spirit of confusion. I break confusion off of your mind and dullness and slowness. Go in the name of Jesus. I speak a supernatural maturity to your mind. I bind the spirit of arrested development. If this is something that happened as a child that caused you not to be able to develop properly and mature properly, I bind arrested development. I break your power and command you to go, all arrested development. And I speak to the mind. I call that mind into a supernatural maturity to the age that they are this day. In the name of Jesus, not only mentally, but emotionally, socially, spiritually, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your shed blood. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Lord, I ask you to heal. Lord, right now, just heal the broken hearts. Heal their broken hearts. I speak healing to your broken heart. The Word says that Jesus said, I am anointed to heal the brokenhearted, and He is in me. So I say, He's given me the power to heal broken hearts. He's given you the power to heal broken hearts. And there's a lot of brokenhearted people. I just say, broken hearts be healed now in the name of Jesus. Broken hearts be healed. Receive your healing. Receive your healing. Receive the healing of your mind. Receive the healing of your bodies. Receive the healings of your emotions. Lord, heal their memories right now. Receive the healing of your memories in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just cover them with the blood. Lord, restore their garments. And I stand mighty angels around them, shoulder to shoulder. Lord, that if anybody ever approached them to hurt them again, that their eyes would be opened, the enemy's eyes would be opened to see the mighty angels that stand guard around them, and they will know you better not touch that one. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I command familiar spirits to come off of their children. I command familiar spirits to come off of their children right now, wherever they are. I give leave to those familiar spirits. They're going to draw those kind of people and target them to be a victim as well. Lord, I put a host of angels around those children, that it not happen again. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. I just speak peace to my sisters now. I speak peace in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed. Be made whole. In Jesus' name. Amen. What is it? Let me hear. Loa. Yeah, thank you. Masturbation. I come against that spirit of Loa. I break your power and command you to go in Jesus' name. All sexual spirits that torment, masturbation, the incubus and succubus, I bind you and break your power. Incubus and succubus, you can't come back. You cannot come back. And let me tell you, if any of these things approach you again, you have the power to say, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I command you to go. Get out of my house, and don't you come back in Jesus' name. I bind all spirits of fantasy and lust, fornication. Go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We thank you. Is there anything else? Did I forget anything else? I don't want to forget anything. Well, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for this afternoon. We thank you for the information, even in your word, Lord, that we see that we're not alone in the things that we suffer. And, Lord, we can learn. And, Lord, your death on the cross and your shed blood and the authority that you have given us to deal with these things, we give you thanks. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.